There's a new sheriff in town. Did you ever hear that phrase? There's a new sheriff in town. I grew up as a little boy, and one of the popular genres of movies and TV shows were what they called westerns. And it seems like in every western, there was a town and there was a sheriff. Sometimes the sheriff was a good sheriff. Sometimes the sheriff was not so good sheriff. Sometimes that was the theme of the movie. But one sheriff would leave sometimes, for whatever reasons, another sheriff would come in and people would say, there's a new sheriff in town. And we wait to see what it's going to be like. The reason that thought comes to me this morning is when I read that reading from the book of Exodus, that first reading this morning, it says there was a new king in Egypt, a new pharaoh, who did not know Joseph. That's an uh-oh line, because there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new king in town, a new pharaoh, who's not familiar with Joseph. It's a very significant phrase. Let me tell you a little bit about Joseph. This isn't Joseph of the Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. This is Joseph, who is the son of Jacob. Remember, Jacob, there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And out of those 12 sons eventually come the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is a significant number. Even Jesus had 12 apostles. So these 12 sons are out doing what they do one day, and they don't particularly like Joseph. There's real sibling rivalry here. They don't care for Joseph. Joseph was Jacob's favorite, and they didn't care for him. And so they wanted to plot a way to get rid of him, the 11 others. Talk about a RICO case. They were working together to do something to Joseph. And so what they do is they try to make him go away. They talk among themselves first about killing him, somehow making him disappear. And eventually what they do is they see a caravan of camels going by with folks, and they give their brother, they sell their brother to this caravan. And they kind of go, he's gone. He's gone. And they report back to Jacob that Joseph is gone, and Jacob weeps. Fast forward, Joseph eventually ends up in Egypt. I'm giving snippets of this story. Joseph ends up in Egypt, and he comes to the attention of Pharaoh because Joseph is able to interpret dreams. And the Pharaoh is very intrigued by this gift. Remember the Broadway play years ago, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dream Coat, that sense of interpreting dreams. He had a colorful coat that he wore. And he becomes pretty much accepted by Pharaoh and lives in Egypt. Go back to Joseph's family, his brothers and his father and family. They hit difficult times. They have to leave where they are. They come to Egypt. And there they find Joseph, surprised that they find Joseph, but that is a way that they become accepted into Egypt. And they land there. They live there. They prosper there. And that's kind of what their experience is. Until this reading today, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new pharaoh, a new king, who doesn't particularly like the family of Joseph, the Israelites. And because he doesn't like them, he gets fearful of them. And he tries to create fear in the kingdom. These Israelites, they're becoming too numerous. They're going to be a threat to us. We need to do something about it. Some leadership does that, creates fear, creates anxiety of the other. And so he orders the midwives, when they find an Israelite giving birth to a boy, to kill the boy. But they don't do that. But eventually the Pharaoh wants all the firstborn boys, he wants the boys to go away and kill them. And the second part of the reading is about Moses. So one of these boys is born to an Israelite, and the mother cares for him for a few months, eventually puts him in the river to somehow float away so that at least hopefully something will happen. If you know the story of Moses, Pharaoh's daughter and servants are down by the water. They see this boy. They take him in, as the reading today says, and they find some Israelite to nurse the boy, who happens to be Moses' mother. And eventually Moses is given over to Pharaoh, and he too lives in Egypt. And eventually, what's the story of Moses? Leading these people to remind them who they are. Because in Egypt, they're becoming oppressed. They're becoming enslaved. It's becoming dangerous just to be an Israelite, because the country's beginning to look at them in a sense of us and them. And the them got to go away. Or the them need to be oppressed. Or at least create fear in us of them. Does that sound familiar? We live in a world today, a world that's creating fear of the other. And by creating that fear, dividing and separating. Wars are going on. Hatred's going on. Division's going on because of this other. And the story of the Israelites is this story of God raising up Moses. Yes, eventually Moses leads these people to a new place to be a reminder to them of who they really are. They are not a people to be feared. They are not a people that have been defined as they had been. But they are freed and go forth. The story of Moses is just an incredible story of leading the folks for 40 years in the desert to a new place. As I hear that reading today, it's amazing sometimes, at least for me, you may hear the reading differently, but as I hear this reading today, these readings can so speak to our times, because we are human and we repeat ourselves. The stories get repeated. Remember, the story of the Israelites is not just the story of the Israelites, it's our story. It's the story, oftentimes, of humanity. How we sometimes react, respond, and live together. And so Moses was the leader. And the story we may say to ourselves is, well, who is a leader who can change this? Who's the leader who will take on this thing and change this world? And sometimes I think that can be something we fall into, looking for a leader. Because I'd like to suggest this morning that you are the leaders. You are the leaders. Baptized into Christ, baptized into this wondrous life. And we are called to be leaders in our world. A leader that doesn't create division or oppression, but creates a sense of unity, an identity of who we all are together. We are all created by this loving and creating God. We are all one people with our differences, with different opinions, different ideas. But together, God has created us. And what I hear this reading saying to us is, we need to be those leaders going forth this day. It's not just one person is going to change everything, but we together in community, living into what Jesus is saying in that gospel reading today. He says to his followers, who do you say that I am? What an incredible question. And they say, well, some say you're Elijah. You know, some say you're one of the prophets. And Jesus is almost saying, I don't care what they say who I am. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And we hear Peter say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I think that's a question we can ponder. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is this Jesus who we invite into our lives? Today we baptize 5 young folks into this wondrous faith, and it's in our hearts. Who is this Jesus? We each may have our own experience of Christ. We each may have our own way that our life has brought us in this encounter with Christ. So they could be different stories, different understandings. But from that place, may we go forth as leaders to create the wonder of what God is creating. Not a leadership of fear and alienation and pushing away, but a leadership that unites us, brings us together, helps us realize who we all are. When we say all are welcome, that's what we're talking about. That we invite all to be part of this wondrous community. And not only this community, but the community we live out in this world. That we live into this idea of all are welcome so that we become a new people together. We discover new possibilities in ourselves and as a community. going forth. Here at St. Paul's, we're talking a lot about leadership this year. We have our cohort. Remember, Nathan Kirkpatrick is our consultant who's gathering with that first cohort of folks who've been gathering consistently over the last few months, looking at leadership. Not a leadership that just talks about how to be a leader of a committee or a ministry here at St. Paul's, but how to be a leader. Speaking of, this is who Christ is to me, and I want to share that with this world. I want to live into that in my life. I want to step forward and create a different world that's not a world of fear, hatred, or divisiveness, but a world of the beloved community that Jesus calls us to. So as we gather together today, just offer those thoughts. You are the Moses. We are the Moses. We are the folks called to leadership in our time, in our place, walking away from a world of alienation and oppression and hatred and division and divisiveness, into a world that realizes through baptism, through faith in God, we are united, we are one. May we be called this day to live into that life together.